It is a tremendous privilege to have God as our Father, to have had His Son, Jesus Christ, pay the price for all that was against us. And it's a tremendous privilege to have His Word to guide us and strengthen us. With every privilege is a responsibility. And the responsibility that God has entrusted to us is the responsibility of stewarding His Word. It takes men and women for the Word of God to be held forth. That ministry of reconciliation was not given to the angels. It was given to us as God's people. And it's always been God's will that one generation will communicate the Word of God to the next generation. And that is a big part of our responsibility. It's something that hasn't been done very successfully throughout time. When I read the Word and look at God's Word, there were two times where the Word of God genuinely flourished, where the Word of God grew and prevailed. And one time was in the Old Testament, and the other was in the New. The one time in the Old Testament was the time of the days of Joshua. When they got into the Promised Land, they did the will of God, and they accomplished God's purposes in coming into the Promised Land, of getting rid of the junk that was in the Promised Land, and the Word of God lived and flourished in a great way. We've seen that earlier in camp, that there was not aught of anything that was given to Moses that didn't come to pass, remember? It was a tremendous time. But that generation did not successfully communicate the Word of God to the next. And what followed was the Judges period. And Jim Melton shared with us, Andrew McGarry shared with us things about the Judges period. Remember, it was a period of about 300 years, and it was a time of tremendous darkness. Periodically, God would raise up a judge, and the judge would do God's will, and God's people would see some deliverance. But really, that whole period of 300 years was characterized by the phrase that every man did that which is right in his own sight, which indicates serious trouble. There was another time where the Word of God grew and flourished, and it was during the period of the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, it began with the day of Pentecost, which was in the year 28 AD. And Acts extends into the 60s of AD, right before the burning of Rome and Nero and all those historical events. But when you think about it, it was a period of, 37 years approximately or so. And during that time, the Christian church made tremendous progress. The book of Acts records the rise and expansion of the Christian church. And it culminated at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, where the conclusion of that great outreach of 2 years and 3 months under the ministry of Paul, it says, so mightily grew the word of God and what? Prevailed. At that time, in that part of the world, the prevailing influence was the word of God. And all I have to do is ask you in your communities, what's the prevailing influence? You know, even sometimes if you look in your own home, what's the prevailing influence? But at that time, throughout all of that part of the world, the prevailing influence was the Word of God. It was a tremendous outreach. It was fantastic. It's what Christianity has not seen since. There's nothing that would compare to what occurred during the book of Acts. But yet, like Joshua's generation, that generation did not successfully communicate the Word of God to the next. Even by before the death of the Apostle Paul, the book of Timothy records that all they which are in Asia, all those people that the Word of God had prevailed in their lives and that they had helped move, that all that were in Asia had turned away from the Apostle Paul. Timothy also goes on to say that concerning the truth, they have erred. And that they not only erred concerning the truth, but they resisted the truth. And it was so much so that Timothy records that they turned from the truth to fables. And that basically ushered in the period of Gnosticism. It was shortly thereafter that the erroneous doctrine of the Trinity sprung up. The church got formalized in Rome, and idolatry was incorporated tremendously into Christianity. All the pagan practices were incorporated into so-called Christianity, and basically the Word of God got buried. It ushered in the dark ages of mankind. So to be able to communicate the Word of God from one generation to the next generation is very, very significant, and it hasn't been done very often. And when you read the Word of God, you can see God's will concerning this. I think that it should be apparent that our topic for this morning is from old to new. In other words, that those of us that have been around for a while are diligent that we take the great privileges that are ours and take the corresponding responsibility and communicate it to the next generation. I've been taught that one of the great things about leadership is to replace yourself so that whatever you're doing that's profitable will continue. You can see in Genesis chapter 18 this great principle. This is, of course, in the records concerning Abraham. To Abraham were given tremendous promises, most notably that from him would come the Christ. But this, perhaps as well as any place in the Word of God, tells us why God could commit such precious promises to Abraham. In Abraham chapter 18, it says in verse 17, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him," look at that, "for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." This perhaps as well as any place says why God and how God could communicate such great and precious promises to him, because he knew Abraham, that Abraham would be faithful to communicate it to the next generation. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Earlier in the week, Jim Melton did a wonderful teaching concerning memorials, and certainly the memorial of the Passover and other memorials had this very topic at the heart of them, that they would bring to remembrance from generation to generation what God had done. The memorial of the Passover, most notably, you can read about it through the book of Exodus. God said that this is something for you to tell your children, for you to teach to your children's children, that it would live, that people wouldn't forget what God had done. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, I can get there. We're going to start in verse 9. It says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul," how? "Diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy," what? "Sons' sons," your grandchildren. Verse 10, "Specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear or respect me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their," what? "Children." You know, throughout the Word of God, the responsibility for teaching the Word primarily is given to the parents to teach it to their children. I know that the church, when people come to fellowship, that too is a tremendous responsibility and privilege, and that it certainly augments and supports what should be done within the family. It's the father's responsibility. It's the mother's responsibility to raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that the word of God will live from generation to generation. Look at Psalm 78. The 78th Psalm. It says in verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Psalm 77, isn't it? Right church, wrong pew. Here we go. Psalm 78, excuse me. Verse 1, it says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his what? Commandments. It's a tremendous privilege to have God's word, and it's also a tremendous responsibility. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, I know that those of us in the teaching center, the adult fellowship, have been getting blessed throughout the week. We've been beholding wondrous things from God's word. But perhaps the most significant work that we do at camp is over there with the kids. You know, I look around the room, and there's a number of you that were raised here that came to camp and have grown up in the Word, having tremendous impact. These kids will never forget this camp. I mean, it's just, it's what occurs. But it's just to be what we do, that we teach it to our children, that we speak to them when we're lying down and when we're rising up all the time, that we're making known the word, that we're living the word. You know, you come into a believer's home and there's verses of scripture on the walls. You know, that there's things that we do. We used to sit at the dinner table and play Bible Jeopardy. And, you know, I was Alex Trebek, and the kids would, you know, they'd say, okay, Kings and Prophets for 100, you know. But there's so many ways you can communicate the Word of God, but you have to be diligent. You know, the Word of God says that children learn by repetition. It's like when you sharpen a knife. You get it at the same angle so that it, as you wet it on a whetstone, you go over and over and over again, you repeat it in the same way so that it sharpens the children. You know, this is the key to Christian parenting. It's the key to raising children. I know a lot of times people exalt, you know, secular education, or they exalt sports, or they exalt other, and all those things are fine. But what about the Word? You know, that our children are raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, this in so many ways encapsulates the ministry that God has given us. It says in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me. The word thou refers to Timothy, and the word me refers to Paul. And the things that Timothy has heard of Paul among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what kind of men? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is our ministry. That the things that you have heard from somebody else, you learn, that you make it your own, and then you teach it to faithful men. See, you know, you can teach the Word of God to anyone, but there's some people that it just goes in one ear, out the other. They don't really care. There can be people that can have a wonderful week at family camp and then walk away and just forget it all. It's certainly available. But God works with the faithful ones. You know, it's the faithful ones that will carry the Word of God forth. The things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men. Now the word "the same" here refers to the rightly divided word. Remember, when it comes to the rightly divided word, there's only one right cutting. Do you ever play what's that old game where you tell somebody next to you and you whisper it around and it comes back so different? Yeah, telephone. To have the Word of God be the same from generation to generation so that the accuracy and integrity of it doesn't get lost is a tremendous challenge. Sometimes people, instead of wanting to walk on the old path, like Joey shared, they've got itching ears looking for some new thing. You know, want to come in and change the Word of God. And, well, it's got to stay rightly divided if the Word of God's going to live. And really, it's fantastic. When you stop and consider this verse, there's really four generations that are involved in verse 2. Because it started with Paul. And then it went to who? Timothy. And then Timothy communicating it to faithful men. That's the third. Who shall be able to teach others, the fourth, also. This is our ministry. The communication of the rightly divided word to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. So it's a tremendous privilege. It's a tremendous responsibility. And it's something that should be of great concern to all of us, that the Word of God move and live from old to new. So with that in mind, we're going to do something that we haven't done yet at camp. I'm going to give you some time here to just go out and talk things over with your Heavenly Father. Go out and pray. Go out and consider. So oftentimes the great decisions in life that we make really are tremendous decisions when they're made in light of God's Word, when they're made in light of His purposes for our life. And here at Family Camp, there's been a lot of God's Word shared. There's a lot that we can consider and think about. I remember at the beginning of the camp, I encouraged you to ask of God so that God could show you things. Well, this will be a wonderful time to consider that. Continue to ask of your Heavenly Father and let Him show you the things that He would have you to know. Some people call this a solo. We like to call it a duo because it's really you and your Heavenly Father. So you can take your Bible with you if you want to. If you don't, you can leave it here, certainly. But go out, just find a place. We'll give you some time at the end of this little duo. It'll be, 20, 25 minutes or so. We'll ring the bell to let you know to come in. And then from there, we'll proceed to our coffee break. Devotion with motion, and then we'll be back in here for part two of the teaching program, okay? So head out and enjoy your time with your Heavenly Father.